Good morning. Thank you for coming. I think I know everybody in the room, but let me say my name's Adrian Bowman, and this is...
I'm Lynn Harvey.
And we are both on the leadership team for West Glasgow New Church. As Douglas explained, this is the second Sunday of three Sundays on a leadership theme. You may remember, I think it's 4 weeks ago now, Faith Brennan spoke to us about leadership. And now it's the turn of the leadership team here to reflect a bit on what that has meant for us. And I would like to do it in a slightly different format from the usual. It's not going to be a one-person talk. It's going to be a conversation, if you like, between two people. So we'll see how that goes. Don't think Jonathan Ross. It's not as toe-curlingly bad as that, I hope. I did want us to be on bar stools so we looked relaxed, but Lynn vetoed that one, I'm afraid.
Too short.
So what I'd like you to think of is, you know, sometimes we've done this as three ordinary Christians who speak about issues in their own lives in a personal way, and that's I've always found that really helpful. So think of this as three ordinary members of the leadership team, including Douglas. And we'd like to be honest, we'd like to be personal, Nonetheless, we do hope that God will speak to us all. Don't think that we're being casual about this. We've thought about it and prayed about it, but that's the style we'd like to take up. Now, going even further courageously, we're happy to take questions from the floor. Now, we've never done that, I don't think, on a Sunday morning. So if you feel courageous enough, give us a question and we'll do our best to answer it. And I should say, the third Sunday in leadership is at the end of March. If it's three ordinary members of the leadership team, then three extraordinary members of the leadership team will come in the final Sunday, pick up the pieces, and sort it all out. Now, Lynn, you and I are both teachers in various ways.
We are.
So I always like to check up what people know before we start. So should we check what they remember about Faith Brennan?
Indeed. I've listened to it again, so I have the answers. So hands up, anyone who remembers any of the points from Faith's service.
It's a bit of an ask.
Oh, well done, Francis Downey goes first. That's very good. Francis has managed to get two in one hit there. Yes, there's Neil.
She spoke about modelling discipleship and she herself presented herself as a model to other people.
Very good, Neil. John Candy, you had your hand up too.
Leadership is about how we lead, not so much about how we're leading.
Very good. Anyone else? That was about how we lead and not what we're leading. Anyone else? Dorothy? Very good. Anyone else? Oh, John Candy's on fire.
You have to be okay with rejection.
We were okay with rejection. I hope you're paying attention to that, Adrian. anything else?
Okay, I'm very impressed.
I'm slightly worried that they might remember what we say now. So the bits we picked up on, and a few of them we said already, was that we are securing God's love and approval, that it's the way we lead that is important, that we are called to put ourselves out with our comfort zone, that Jesus had the disciples do jobs that he could have done better themselves so that they had the opportunity to grow. If God is calling you to lead, is it humility to say no and stay at the back? Where is God challenging us to lead this year? Who are we investing in and who is investing in us? And the disciple makes disciples with the bits that we picked out. So you may hear these come up again today.
Okay, I'm very impressed. That's 4 weeks ago and you remembered a great deal of it. Well done. We're going to structure this, first of all, by thinking about sense of calling. And as Douglas has mentioned, there will be an exercise to recognise elders coming up quite soon. So, Lynn, 5 years ago, you got a call, as it were, the phone call, that is. And how did you react?
Calls to leadership and other forms of service don't often come when you expect them. or indeed do you feel ready or equipped to undertake the role? And that was certainly my experience when Douglas called about being recognised an elder 5 years ago. I couldn't have felt less qualified. I was and still am a full-time working mum. I had a six-year-old and a four-year-old. I was a wife, a youth leader, and as Andrew will let you know, probably tons of other stuff that I was involved in. And I genuinely didn't think I was hitting base competence in most of those. So how could I fit this in and actually do it properly without all the plates coming crashing down? And genuinely, my biggest fear was looking around at the shoes that I was being asked to fill, the elders who had all said they were stepping down, and I was being asked to come in and do the job that they had done so well for so many years. On a good day, I genuinely feel my Bible knowledge is poor. I am very impulsive. I'm very skilled, however, at speaking and acting in a way that is not becoming of any grown-up, let alone a church leader. And really wondered what you guys were thinking to put my name in that bit of paper. And I'll be honest, imposter syndrome does run strong in me. So I'm still waiting to be found out and you realise all this. But, as Andrew will also tell you, my inability to say no is my overriding characteristic. It's all my mum's fault. And there's also the fact that I genuinely didn't think you could say no if you were called to be an elder. I have since found out that's not the case. But anyway, so I didn't become an elder brimming with confidence. I did not genuinely have much of an eager heart, but it came down to the fact I didn't have the courage to say, don't be ridiculous, they've all picked the wrong person. So when Faith Brennan spoke about a reaction to leadership being, who am I to do this, she was reading my mind. But faith, as we said earlier, challenges, if God's calling you to lead, is it humility to say no and stay at the back? Where is God challenging you to lead this year? And there's a wee bit I read this week preparing for this, what it said, it's not that God won't give you more than you can handle, but that God will help you to handle what you've been given. But one of the most significant things about 5 years ago was I was looking through quite a significant phase of questioning my faith. I think there's quite a lot of chat of this in the first service this morning. And not a faith crisis as such, but a realisation that I'd maybe starting to take my Christian faith for granted. I was getting very good at churchianity. I was very good at talking about going to church and hanging out with you guys. I came along here because that's just what I've done since I was a child. I go to church on a Sunday. And these days I'm probably in a rota for something anyway, so I need to be here. But I genuinely like coming to church. I like seeing you guys and like catching up with you. But I was at a stage where actually meeting God wasn't even on my radar for what was to happen on a Sunday. Wasn't even an expectation, wasn't a hope. Prayer had become a bit of a kind of throw-up reaction to things that happened, and that reading my Bible was something I did just to prepare a capstone lesson. I was at a stage of thinking, what do I believe? What Christian life am I actually living? Is my identity in Christ, or is it being part of a social club? But then God does enjoy a laugh, doesn't he? So why else, when I'm feeling like that, would he ask me to become a church leader? I think that's the answer to his question. My question was, stop taking me for granted. Stop bumbling along. If you do this, you cannot avoid me. You can't actually be an elder without reading your Bible. You can't do it without praying, and you can't do it without being surrounded by good people who are living out their gospel lives and inspiring me to be more Christ-like, like them. Disciples making disciples, as Faith had said. And God knows me. He knows that I won't say no. He also knows that I'm a pragmatist. I need a task to get something done. If I'm left to my own devices, nothing much will happen. So he needed, I knew I needed that shake-up. And last Sunday, we had our youth at PowerPoint, which is a youth event, and the theme has always been about being made in God's image and how we're made for more than we can imagine ourselves to be. And I think this further emphasised Faith's message in the fact that I am secure in God's love and approval, as are we all, and it can go beyond our comfort zone. We just need to ask for help. And as it says in Luke, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's just not necessarily the door that you're expecting. So that was me, Adrian. You've been an elder for much longer than 5 years.
Yes.
How long have you actually been an elder, Adrian?
If I've done the sums right, I think I have. It's 20 years.
I hope someone like you has done the sums right, Adrian. So
can't guarantee it.
So can you remember as far back as 20 years ago?
Yes, in fact, I can remember back even further. And my reaction was exactly the same as yours. And I said we were going to be personal and honest, so I'll speak openly about the first time I was asked to be an elder. That was in really the very early days of West Glasgow New Church, and I felt wholly inadequate to the task, just as Lynn has described. I measured myself against the role as I saw it, and I measured myself against the spiritual giants as I saw them, who occupied the leadership positions at the time. I really felt I didn't measure up. I did end up saying no on that occasion because I felt I just wasn't ready. And that was quite a disturbing experience. It set all sorts of things going. And it was a bit of a wake-up call, I think. So 5 years later, when the call for elders came up again, I was ready. And the call didn't come, which is further evidence that God has a sense of humor. So another 5 years, call did come. And still with that sense of trepidation, I said yes. And actually, I think that's quite a good sense to have in taking on a job. It is a serious job. But I love that line, it's not that God won't give you more than you can handle, but God will help you handle what you've been given. And I would really endorse that. I can also say there's been a real sense of fulfillment in being an elder. It's a privilege to walk alongside people in that way in the church. So there we are, that's the call. Let's move on to the experience of being leaders. Any questions yet? No questions yet, okay. So Lynn, what's it been like joining the leadership team? What a motley crew we are.
No comment. joining the team, it was a bit of a worry. I didn't know where I would fit in, where my skills would lie, but as we find in any team, we all have different roles to fill. If you've had the joy of any kind of corporate leadership, then the terms of team worker, visionary, implementer, completer, finisher, and area resource investigator was one of my favourites that I came across, are familiar. But I have done said training, and I came out as a jack of all trades, master of none, which is the story of my life, and it's how I kind of feel in the leadership team as well. Paul wrote in Ephesians that, so Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Our gifts, resources and experience will lead us into different roles. Generally don't know which role I'm tend to fall into. However, I do use it to my advantage when Andrew's desperate to get away home for his lunch and I'm getting grumped at for being chatty. I can now say I am pastoring. So be aware, I've probably now just landed myself in it. But it says in Romans, we're all asked to be different parts of the body. And it's thinking about what are your gifts? What is your role? Where do you fit in? I still constantly think this because I'm still not sure myself. But there's no expectation that we need to be the full package and we need to be able to do everything. I quite like Timothy and Titus has been a wee guide to actually consider and pray about understanding what our gifts are, where do we lie, where can we best use those. And again, this is a wee phrase I came across this week that I quite enjoyed was, we are all saints, we're all members of Christ's family, we're all servants. What are your gifts? What are your responsibilities in West Glasgow, in your family, your friendship groups, your school, your communities, your workplace? Where do we all fit in? I'm still thinking about it. I'm still trying to work out what they are and probably bumbling along and doing so. But think about what your gifts are and how you can use them to their best effect. But for Adrian, what is leadership about for you?
What is leadership about? I'm going to give you a passage from the Bible as well. It's Hebrews 3:17, just one verse. I know it's not always good to take a verse out of context, but there's quite a lot of different places in the Bible which talk about leadership. But this, for me, is a really good summary. Hebrews 3:17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you. So I'm going to take those three words just briefly, because I think they're a very useful summary of what I've felt about being a leader. I'm going to retranslate the word confidence and use the word trust. In any setting, trust is hugely important. It's one of the currencies of human life. When it's not there, things just don't work. Doesn't matter what you do, they don't work. When it is, just about anything is possible. And I've always felt a very strong degree of trust within West Glasgow New Church. And I felt it as a leader, and I felt it as a member of the congregation. I think our common faith in God and our trust in Jesus, somehow or other, deepens the trust that we can share with one another. So for me, being a leader, that has been most strongly expressed in the pastoral visits that we are, again, making around the whole church. Don't worry, if we haven't been to you, you are coming. The ability to meet with people and take the conversation to a deeper level than otherwise we might, knowing that in both directions there's a real wish to seek the best for one another, that is very special. And even on occasions when you feel, right, I know there's things going on here, there's issues here, this could be difficult, I've never, ever failed to come away from that without feeling really encouraged and sometimes inspired myself with the way people deal with issues in their own lives. It's always been a positive experience, and it's always been a privilege. Trust, for me, is at the heart of the whole business. Now, there's other words there. There's the word authority, and that's slightly uncomfortable in our culture, you might feel. There are rare occasions, and they are rare, when difficult decisions have to be made, sometimes to resolve situations, sometimes to protect the church. But it's not, and it's the Bible talks about this in other places, it's not a kind of overbearing authority, you're going to do this. It's an authority, I think, that comes from being connected to the author, with a capital A. So leaders, the challenges, should be committed in their faith to God and in their role in the church. I think that's what authority is about. And then there's a third one, which is keeping watch. I always remember Francis Lappin, sadly no longer with us. I remember once in a Bible study or something, the word overseer came up. And Francie said her understanding of that is not so much about being the boss as about looking out for the church. So the overseer, kind of looking over, see what's coming, any danger, or seeing what's going on, helping to sort it out, that kind of thing. I found that a really helpful analogy. It's about responsibility and it's about commitment. But leaders should be committed. And you are committed. You are all leaders in all sorts of different ways. The particular roles we play may be different, but that commitment's there. Thank you for it. To every member of the leadership team, you folk matter very much indeed. Every single one of you. And then there's the phrase at the end, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that be of no benefit to you. Friends, it is a joy to be a leader of West Glasgow New Church. I have to say that. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the calling. We talked a little bit about what we felt was, for us, the main things, about some of the key things about leadership. But leadership's probably inevitably connected with, you know, where's the church going, what are we doing, that kind of thing. So, Lynn, do you want to kick us off on where you think we're at?
Okay. Hello. All right, I've got a question.
It is, yeah. I can count. Yes. Yes.
If you could not steal my thunder for the next wee bit, Graham, that'd be really helpful. I'll take that to leadership team to discuss, Graham. I quite like that there was a degree of continuity that we had Adrian and Douglas, who've been there for the previous term and longer for Adrian for that continuity, and also the fact that Graham had also served previously as well. So there was the experience there and the fresh meat of Andy and Jamie and myself to pick up pieces. But as I'm about to go on and talk about Alan as well, because he was really quite a key part of the team and kind of helping us to kind of think about, although we came in like Labrador puppies thinking like what we're doing things, of actually been having someone and people within the team who had been there, done that and could help us focus was very, very helpful.
Thank you for the question.
Okay. Anyway, so on to Alan. I hope you're not, I don't want to embarrass you here, Alan, but when I kind of was thinking about the past 5 years and what has happened, it really kept coming back to the people as a church we have actually employed who are very much the backbone of the organisation and the structure within West Glasgow. I personally, and I think I'm probably speaking for the rest of it, can't thank Alan enough for being within that role. I don't know how he didn't tell us where to go so many times with all the random emails, phone calls, of things that you think you would know about your church, but you really, really don't, about tiny minutiae to do with admin and bureaucracy and things, and bigger things to know about people's lives, about the historical things that were going on. Alan was invaluable with his experience, with his skills, and the support that he gave us was fantastic. And when he stepped down a couple of years ago, that was a real time of re-evaluation because it made us think of where we were, and with such a key member stepping down, where were we about to go? And we already had a youth worker by then, but again, Alan had been key in helping us with that, of thinking about what was our demographic within West Glasgow, but also within White Inch and where the opportunities lay there, what things might work, what might not, thinking about what the remit of a youth worker might be, because he had worked with our previous youth workers quite closely and again had seen things to do with what they did, with their personalities and their skills would help. So with that, one of the biggest jobs I've undertaken as an elder was putting together a remit and then advertising and appointing Emma, our current youth worker. And that, I think, has been a huge benefit to our church with organising the youth team within themselves, but actually starting to look out with West Glasgow and outreach and looking around the schools in the West End, with the communities that she works with and things. Where that goes next, again, it's open to questions and open to comment as well, but that has been quite a large part of being an elder. And then we've got Amy as our PA. And is much, much more than that as well. So although she only took on the admin roles that had been part of Alan's job, she can't help herself, and that has spread out to other things as well, and hopefully we'll see some growth there as well. But also on to CAP, which is the current kind of hot topic within the leadership team and within our church. We felt this was a hugely God-given opportunity. It had been something we'd been talking about within the leadership team of an outreach worker. What would that look like? What would they do? And we felt that this was something that God placed into our hands to really consider as a great opportunity of serving the community that we are based in, but also as an opportunity for service for you guys within the church. So that's kind of where we are at the moment.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. That sounds really exciting. I hope you feel excited. Our extraordinary colleagues will pick up the theme in the final session about where we're going with all of that, I think. Time is pressing. Can I say one final thing this morning? And it's back to this being personal and being honest. I can't really not say this on an occasion like this. I hope we've made it clear that serving as leaders in West Glasgow is a joy and it is a privilege. I hope you feel too that in the various leadership roles you all play, that you feel that as well. But I should indicate when the time comes from recognition of elders in the spring, I believe it's right that I should stand down this time. And speaking only for myself now, just a personal comment, why, you may say? Well, the key is the theme that Douglas gave us earlier. It's about renewal. And we've rightly reflected that in the name of the church. It's part of our faith, part of our mode of operation is our renewal in West Glasgow New Church. And it's very important that the leadership team draws gift from all parts of the church, that it's informed by those who are at the sharp end of working life, of family life, and all the other issues that go along with that, and that there's a recharge of fresh energy and vision. And it's important to make space for that, for gift to emerge and develop. That's what happened 5 years ago when several people felt it was time to pass on the baton, as the terminology went then, and I think for me that time has come too. So let me make it very clear, I have huge commitment to and love for West Glasgow New Church. I have huge confidence in and deep affection for the other members of the leadership team. Lynn, I love you.
Thank you. Nobody else?
But all of them. But in terms of my particular role, I think the time for renewal has come.
So we're all a wee bit sad that Adrian's going to be standing down. We don't know who is going to be the butt of our jokes now at every leadership team meeting. But we'll maybe just email them to you instead, Adrian. To finish off today, any form of leadership, whether it is within the church, in your homes, in work, school, your communities, again, involves pressures and challenges, but it's often those that have allowed us to grow most. And although it's easier to find the joy and the thankfulness in good times, that thankfulness and joy is often deeper when we find it in the challenges. I find myself 5 years on feeling that God has renewed my faith in him, that although still under development, it's not in the stagnated position it was before. And alongside this, leadership in WGNC has really given me a sense of huge privilege and gratitude that you trusted me with this role. All of the elders are aware that we are being invested in, and it really helps us to be in a position to invest in you. The love and the encouragement and the challenge that you often give us, both, I'll try to think, from our respective spouses mostly, our families, from each other, all of you in the network of other churches and Christians that we have the privilege to work with, is, as Adrian said, a genuine joy. And I would encourage you guys to actually try and do the same. Think about the pressures and the challenges of all the roles that you have in life, and look to where you can thank God for his love, his power and wisdom, no matter if it leads you in places that you never thought was going to happen, and that it will renew your hope, that it will lighten your load and put some steel in your soul too. Thank you.
Adrian and Lynn. We're going to close with a final hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. So, in a month's time, you will be asked to put names on a piece of paper of people that you recognise to be your elders for the next 5 years. So, you have a month's time to refresh your knowledge of the people that are in your church, start looking around and trying to identify those people that you think have the gift and who you want to be there to lead you, so that when the paper arrives, it's not a shock. All these things, of course, are just sort of human mechanics of how we run the group. The key thing for a church is that God is here, that his Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and that will bring us closer to him. So let's sing this song, a prayer, Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew.